But Father, I thank you and I praise you and I give you all honor and all glory for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. I thank you, Father God, that we sit at your table tonight and you are giving us fresh manna from heaven. I thank you that your Holy Spirit is with us and moving among us, doing the things that need to be done, filling us fuller and fuller and fuller of your Spirit. And Father, I thank you for angelic host for moving throughout these chairs, ministering to your people. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, what God is going to talk about tonight is getting ready for a display of God's glory in the public arena. Now, we've heard this before, but we're going to hear it again. We need to be ready for the people that God's going to send into the house. We need to be ready to minister salvation to them, love, and compassion, and grace, and long-suffering. And the only way we can do that is if we, first of all, are doing that with each other. Amen. I've been reading over and over and over again where the body of Christ is just being just about ripped apart through the things that Satan is doing to the people. He's just throwing everything at you that he has in hell. He's trying to stop you at this given time. And what you have to be is you have to be stronger than any devil in hell. And God has made us strong, and he's given us a backbone of flint and a forehead of steel. And he's called us forth to stand strong. I'm hearing him say, be militant. And destroy the works of the enemy instead of having the enemy destroy, us. We have to be watchful that the enemy doesn't sneak in. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing God say, all right? We have to be watchful that the enemy doesn't sneak in a side door. When we're busy working for God and we get so engrossed in what we're doing, the enemy sneaks in a side door and, deposits some of his filth in our lives. So we have to be very careful of that, watchful of that. All right, the Lord says to get ready for a literal display of my glory in the public arena. This means a great testimony of the goodness of God will be coming to the media and entertainment industry. These testimonies will be used to provide an opportunity for the world to marvel at the power of God. And these testimonies may start on the news from the individuals that all of a sudden become gripped with a grateful heart, those who have felt a touch and power from Jesus. And I've been reading every now and then, somebody in the media, has gotten touched by God and changed their whole lifestyle. And so it's already begun. It isn't going to begin, but it's already begun. And how do you know? You might be the one that causes, you might walk in and just say one word, and that'll change a person's whole mindset, of what they're doing with God and what God is doing with them. And as Sister Elaine was talking about the street people and their addictions, God told me, she was talking, God was saying, the pharmaceutical people are the ones that started this addiction. And then the parents got caught up in the addiction. Then they had children who were addicted. And then it's just a vicious cycle. It just keeps going on and on. And the only way that we're going to get that cycle broken is if we really walk in the, I'm hearing God say, the newness and the goodness of God with the power and the authority and the anointing to destroy every yoke. And this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to walk in this authority that he's given us to destroy. People don't want to be like they are, do they, Elaine? And like she said, the man was had opiates and he was just doing funny things. Well, I see that every day. And they can stand before you and be a perfect person next second, or somebody you don't even know. And so we tend to be upset with the people. But really, truly, we shouldn't be upset with the people. Should be, Elaine. You being a nurse, and you know they come in there, and it's a mess. But it's not something they wanted; it's something their parents gave them. Are you listening here? And it's somewhere along the line the parents got hooked. You'd be surprised how many parents are hooked on what they call legal drugs that the doctors give them, but nobody knows it and they're hiding it. And all they can see is these kids out there that are so messed up that they don't know how to hide it because they're not their own anymore. They're run by these demons. And so we really have to be very watchful and very loving and considerate and kind and long-suffering and long-suffering and long-suffering, just like Jesus was. Amen. And you know, what did Jesus see when he went into the Pharisees? He says, "You brood of vipers." You know, and Jesus told these religious bunch that they would travel the seas to find one proselyte, then make them 10 times worse than they were. You know, so Jesus was always, you know, bombing them with things that they were doing wrong. But we shouldn't do that as pastors, because after all, we should shed the love of Christ abroad, and we do. But we also have to understand that we're doing wrong, all right? How are you going to minister to people that come in off the street if you aren't willing to be chastised by God? How are you going to minister to them? Because you're going to have to chastise them. And so, because I know that I do that. But when I do that, the people in my home, God always puts it full of love. He never, ever, ever, you know, goes at them with a ton of bricks. Because they don't know, but you all know. See what the difference is here? They don't know, but you do. And God is trying to destroy. If you're ministering to somebody right now that's addicted with drugs, alcohol, whatever, you need to know that they are highly anointed of God, and the enemy's trying to destroy them before God gets them cleaned up. And so the only thing that God can do is use you as a vessel of love to minister to them. All right. I know that because that's what God's told me. Anybody that you see brought in off the street addicted is ones that I have handpicked, and I am trying to bring them forth. But I need, you know, us to be vessels of love and long suffering compassion. And if we don't understand what they're going through, then you need to ask God, what are they going through? And let God tell you what's going on in their lives. All right. All right, God, we are entering into a season of great signs and wonders. We are entering into a season of great signs and wonders. I feel that we are right now on the cusp of an incredible harvest, with signs and wonders bringing it in and following the harvest around. We are getting ready, and I don't know what day it's going to happen, but every night I think tomorrow is going to be the day, or the middle of the night it's going to happen. We are going to see this great drop of God's glory, and we're going to see great signs, wonders, and miracles. And by that I mean the multitudes being brought in off the street to be ministered to be fed, to be clothed, whatever they need. And God is going to clean them up, and God's going to send them forth into the fields, because there are not enough harvesters to harvest the souls out there that need to be harvested. There just is not enough in the house of God that have been taught and trained how to do it. There's just not enough. And so God's going to bring these. He's told me this years ago. He's going to bring the lost in, clean them up, over, you know, just a miracle clean up. And then he's going to give them a mantle and send them forth to do the works for him. And who's going to have to help them? You are. You're going to have to be there to mentor them. You're going to have to be there to lead and guide them, because some of them will come in there and just be so on fire for God, they just go zoom, and they don't have any ground, you know, under their feet, and they're not steady, and they'll do some dumb things. But God is raising you up, has been raising you up, so that you can be there for them to steady them and to explain things to them. So whatever God's been doing with you, it has not been for naught. He's been training you so you can then train somebody else. And what he say, you're all leaders, right? And so instead of the blind leading the blind, he wants the leaders to be so full of the Holy Spirit that we will lead everybody else into the anointing and into the Holy Spirit. All right. We are at a Kairos moment of a great dispensing of the power of God released into the lives of the lost and broken. How many of you, well, you see them all the time, Elaine, on the street. Some of you, Brother Chris, you see them at your workplace. The people are just really messed up. They're broken. Grace, you see them. You know, we see them everywhere. They're really broken, and they need somebody, and they're wounded, and they need somebody who has the anointing of God in them and around them to help heal them. They can't get healed themselves, I know. I've watched people in my house say, God, why won't you touch them? He said, I'm working little by little, and I will clean them up. So, you know, they can't do it themselves, but they need somebody behind the scenes. They need somebody praying for them and holding them up before God at all times. Okay, the power of God released. And Luke 8:43 says, a woman was there who had been bleeding for 12 years. She had spent all her money on doctors, but no doctor was able to heal her. Do you ever wonder why you're not healed? Because God wants to do the miracle. The woman came behind Jesus and touched the bottom of his coat. At that moment, her bleeding stopped. It wasn't until she touched Jesus that she was healed. Then Jesus said, who touched me? And they all said they had not touched him. And Peter said, Master, people are all around you pushing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I felt power go out from me. How many of you have felt the power of God jump out of you and touch somebody? That's an awesome feeling, isn't it? You just feel it just leap out of you and touch somebody. When the woman saw that she could not hide, she came forward shaking. She bowed down before Jesus while everyone listened, and she told why she touched him. Then she said that she was healed immediately when she touched him. See, this is what God wants. He wants when you touch somebody, when the power of God is in you and you touch somebody, then God says, whatever you place your hands to do, I will accomplish. So when you lay your hands on somebody and speak healing into them, God heals them. And this is what he wants to send forth, just like when she touched Jesus. And Jesus said to her, my daughter, you are made well because you believed. Go in peace. You'd be surprised how many people on the street that are homeless or even living in homes that are addicted really want peace. They really would love to be delivered from their torment that they are in. They're not enjoying one lick of their life because they're in utter torment. And yet you look at the, you know, the world looks at them. The church looks at them and said, aren't they disgusting? Well, in God's eyes, you are more disgusting than they are, because after all, you have Jesus, you know Jesus, and they don't. You have the power of God surging through you all the time, and you have the anointing that destroys every yoke, and you are the one, instead of criticizing them, you are the one that should be touching them and speak healing over them. Amen. This morning I told Sister Catherine to go touch somebody and release the anointing. Well, she did what I told her. I said, now release anointing into them. And when she did, the person really fought going down. They didn't go down, but they were really weaving. And I said, at that point, you want to go down in the name of Jesus. Just receive. But see, when I said release your anointing, when she released the anointing, it went into that person. Now, it might look like she didn't get anything, but she got something. You see what I'm saying? They don't have to go down. They don't have to shout, oh, glory. You know, they don't have to do all that. You just release it and then let God do what he wants to do. And this is why we're talking about this tonight, because he wants you guys, me too, to be vessels that no matter where we're at, what we're doing, we can lay hands on people and they will be healed of anything. I don't care if it's addiction. I don't care what it is. They'll be healed. All right? All right, I'm hearing God say, are your hands clean? Because he can only use clean hands to do that. I don't mean go wash them with soap. I mean, you know, don't defile your hands, because God can't work through defiled hands. All right, in this story of the woman with the issue of blood, we see a desperate woman. Is that right, Matt, Brent? Who has tried everything up to this point for healing and wholeness. We see a woman who is desperate for a touch. She recognizes the Messiah and pushes through the crowd to touch a fringe of Jesus' garment. She believed that Jesus carried the ability to bring her into wholeness. Now, I want to say one thing, you know, last Sunday with the scarf, right? Was that what it was? And, you know, and Sister Grace prayed, and God showed her the scarf to get and everything, and told her to put it on me, and he would touch me. Well, I was healed of some things that day. I got up the next day and said, look at this. You know, some of these things are gone. And so because Sister Grace had compassion for me, first of all, and prayed about it, then God told her what to do. And then her and Elaine with the shofar, and then God said, I went healing in the place. So whenever you went around and blew the shofar of the people and used the scarf, people were really healed. You don't have to see the miracle. You just have to believe that whenever you speak it, it happened. All right? But I believe with all my heart we're going to hear people scream and shout and run and carry on like fools because the healing took place, and they're going to be active about it. I know when we had a revival all the time, and people, there was one young man, he came here and he only had a week or two to live, and he had cancer, stage 4 cancer. I didn't know that though. And his sister brought him, and when I was ministering, I would walk around then, you know, minister and just speak God's word. And a year later, his sister said, "Oh, by the way, my brother said when you walked by him, something hit him and he was healed. He's just alive and well." His stage 4 cancer was all gone, but it took him a whole year to tell me that. Amen. But see, this is what happens. You don't even, you know, just like the pastor who always wanted to dance in the spirit. And he walked by me one time. This is when I was just one of you guys sitting down there enjoying myself, you know, and he walked by me and he gave a yell and started jumping, and he ran around the church and really carried on. And he said, "When I went by Sister Barbara, something jumped onto me," and he said, "I took off running," and he says, "I've been wanting that for years." So, and I'm just sitting there not even understanding then about having the anointing of God inside of you. And the virtue of God went out of me and touched him, and he got the desires of his heart. And he was so excited about that. I didn't know. See, you don't know what people want. You don't know what God's going to do. All you have to do is go in the church and you know, just be walking with God and be full of his holiness and just be cleansed from inside out. And then God can put his anointing in you and use you at any given time. And he doesn't even say to you, "Hey, when that guy walks by, I'm going to zap him." He doesn't say that. You're just sitting there not knowing what's going on. Because I looked, I said, "I wonder what hit him." That's what I thought. And then he told us. So you see how this is going to work? You know, Sister Grace, when you're flagging, you could be flagging, you know, and you could walk by somebody and all of a sudden they carry on like, you know, you just shot them or something. You know, because the virtue of God went from your flagging into them and they got healed from the inside out. All right? We don't want to be like Lucifer, though, and get full of pride, do we? No, isn't that what we heard this morning? All right. I believe this is the opportunity that the church is being given at this moment, and that's to just be available for God to work through to do healings. All right. I believe this is an opportunity that the church is being given at this moment to carry the power of Christ into this world with healing, deliverance, and wholeness to those who are desperate for a touch. We are surrounded by people who are helpless and harassed, and we are to be filled with compassion for those who are not yet reconciled to God. Now, see, I have in my home living two people who are really bound up, and I've been praying, I've been holding before God, you know, I've done everything I know to do. To God, why aren't they healed? But as I read this, we are to carry the power of Christ into this world with healing, deliverance, and wholeness to those who are desperate for a touch. See, they now know about Jesus. And God has told me what I'm supposed to do with them, but they refuse to do it. So they're not, now I know, they're not desperate for that touch yet. And that's why they're not being delivered from their addictions they're in. Isn't that awesome? And I've been praying, "God, what am I doing wrong?" You know, I've just been going down a prayer list like you wouldn't believe. And it's because they're not desperate for a touch because they keep refusing to do the things that God wants them to do. All right, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "I am calling in those who have issues and are ready to push through the crowd of their circumstances into the place of true relationship with Jesus." So the ones he's going to bring in off the street are the ones who truly want to be set free, according to this, right? "I am finding those who have set themselves aside in the place of desperation for a touch from Jesus. I am reaching out to the lost so they can bring in a great testimony into the church and the world of what I have done for them." And remember, God told us a while back that he's already prepared the hearts of those he's going to send into the church. And so now, since we know this, he said this, then what we need to do is to understand that when God sends them in, they are desperate. And they're going to get their healing immediately. So what you have to be doing is sitting here and say, "God, use me any way you want to today. If you want to use me for somebody to walk by me and heal me, fine. If you want to use me, tell me, just get up and walk by that person, fine. You don't have to slap them on the head, anoint them with oil and all that. The anointing in you will go out of you, and the anointing will destroy the yokes. Because God did tell us he had already prepared the people's hearts that he was going to send in off the streets. The woman with the issue of blood. Now, when I say off the streets, it could be from homes, you know. It's just not somebody standing out there in the street. A lot of people are sitting in homes desperately lost. The woman with the issue of blood pushed through the crowd in desperation, and she reached out and touched Jesus. What was it I said today, Sister Nancy, and God said, you're not, we were talking about, not what? Oh, I said, I'm curious about why God wasn't doing something, and God spoke to me and said, but you're not curious enough. So I have to get more serious about this thing. I forgot what I was even talking about. It doesn't matter, but that's what he said to me. You're just not curious enough. So maybe you all just aren't curious enough about something you're praying about. All right? Well, I am. Well, I thought I was, but God said in there and told me, no, you're not. He spoke that right to me. My little mind heard that. All right? The woman with the issue of blood pushed through the crowd in desperation, and she reached out and touched Jesus. When Jesus felt power leaving from him, he stopped what he was doing so he could address the one who touched him. What did he do? When Jesus felt power leaving him, so the virtue left Jesus, he felt it. I felt it when it leaves me. You will too, if you haven't already. Jesus stopped what he was doing so he could address the one who touched him. There are several reasons that Jesus stopped to recognize the woman for touching him. One reason, I believe, is so Jesus could restore her in front of everyone. Had she been healed and not been publicly restored, she would have later been stoned for her actions and for not declaring herself unclean. The other reason I believe that Jesus brought her out in front of everyone was to show her great faith, and for her to build faith in others through the sharing of her testimony. So I'm going to tell myself again, I was laying in bed the night, I was praying, said, God, when are you going to heal me? Please let this healing be manifested. He said, when are you going to be ready? So there's something in me that's not quite ready for this healing to manifest itself. And, you know, and so I'm telling myself so you all can tell on yourself. You know, you need to hear why things aren't happening in your life when you know that God is able to do them. All right. Do you see how this story played out? She pushed through the crowd because she was desperate and she believed in Jesus as the Messiah. After her faith paid off, she then was recognized before God and men. She fell to her knees when she saw that she could not hide. I felt the Holy Spirit say that the woman went to her knees as a prophetic symbol of the secret place of prayer, and then she began to give her powerful testimony, and many watched and were amazed. Do you know, wouldn't it be awesome if somebody came in here and got a wonderful healing, and they went out the door yelling, screaming, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. People would just come in to see what we're doing in here, right? Or, you know, like if whenever Elaine's on the street and Grace is on the street and people start shouting and screaming and crying and carrying on like fools, and you have everybody, all the other people running down to where you're at saying, what's going on down here? And then they'll get touched too. You see how this is going to work? The Holy Spirit is saying, this is what I am getting ready to do. I am causing a great awakening where the lost will have an encounter with me through desperation. And they will bring their testimonies into the church, media, and the marketplace, and many will be saved through the power of their testimony. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. How did they overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. People's going to go out there and they're going to say, the Spanish community that you guys are going to say, you know, those two ladies came and they prayed with us and we were healed. And they'll go spread that on their testimony all over the place. And what's going to happen? Those people then that you haven't talked to are going to want you to talk to them and pray with them and give them a word from God and watch them be healed. And this is how it works. But you have to go out there, and I know yous do, but you have to go out there believing and receiving the miracles that you're believing for. You have to go out there with total faith, knowing that God has heard you in your prayer closet, and he's going to do what you ask him to do. All right? Where am I at? I lost my place. Ephesians, 5:14. Yes, everything is made clear by the light. This is why we say, wake up, you who are sleeping. Rise from death, and Christ will shine on you. Now, church needs to get awake. Church needs to go out there with the anointing of God. I don't care where you're going. You have to go out there, and you have to allow the anointing of God to work through you. Remember the story I told you about being in the supermarket, went by that lady, and she said, what'd you do to me? And I was very shy. I was. And I said, ma'am, nothing. She scared me. She was so radical bad. Yes, you did. You touched me. You did something to me. No, I didn't. Then I found, this is before I knew what I know now. Then I knew what happened was when I went by her, the virtue of God went out of me and touched her, and she was healed. I didn't go in there to do, I went in there to get my groceries. You know what I'm saying? So when you're going on your everyday journey, and wherever you go, God knows who you're going to come in contact with, and God knows what they have need of, and God knows whether or not your heart is prepared and ready for him to use you to do whatever needs to be done. All right? We are in a fresh season of awakening. People are beginning to experience hunger and thirst for God in new ways, and I've been reading that. They really have been. They are. People everywhere are finding God as they have not found him before. People are beginning to think differently than before. And Joel 2:28-29 is coming to pass right before our very eyes. And God has told us that this is happening. And Joel 2:28 says, after this, I will pour out my spirit on all kinds of people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will have dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on servants, both men and women. I will work wonders in the sky and on the earth. So that's what God is wanting to do right now. When we set up the prophetic booth on the green or wherever we happen to be at, and people come in there, and I've watched this just a couple of weeks ago when we were there. You know, we didn't have anybody come in at first, and they started coming in, and then I watched them. They would walk around the thing talking to people. Next thing you know, those people came, and then they went and told, and those people came. See, the word was spread that, hey, those people over there know all about your life. And so then they came over. Isn't that what happened? They came over then because they wanted to hear God speak to them, right? And Elaine told us that they said it was spot on and what they call it. So this is what happened. If you're a prophet, then wherever you go, you know, God will say to you, I want you to give that person a word. You don't know them from nobody, but you walk over and say, God wants me to give you a word. And then just let God give them the word. Don't work it up. I'm hearing God say, don't conjure it up. Just be open and ready for him to use you wherever you're at to say or do whatever he's asking you to do. And he is going to start working through each and every one of us in this room today. He is going to use us with signs, wonders, and miracles. And he said, you've been searching and seeking, and now you found. And so now, and then he's saying, you're not lost anymore. In other words, you're not wandering out in that maze saying, God, what are you going to do with me? Well, he just told you he's going to start using you with whatever gifting you have within you. All right? And whatever you do, don't go out there and say you're a prophet and you're not. You can prophesy and not be a prophet, you know that. But you go out there and let God do whatever he wants to do through you. But also, because, you know, I am a prophet and we have a prophetic church, if you notice, most people come here, well, about everybody comes here and stays here, they become prophetic. In other words, they can prophesy. Why? Because the anointing of the prophet is in the church. Are you understanding that? And so don't let the devil tell you, well, you can't prophesy. Well, yes, you can. When I first started a church, I used to teach people how to prophesy. And, you know, God said, I want you to teach them. And you know, and they said, I can't do that. In fact, when I would counsel people, and God would say, let them counsel themselves. So I would say, what's God saying to you? And then the husband would say whatever. I said to the wife, what's God saying to you? And she would say it. And that's the way it was. You know, God would use them to speak into their own lives. And I was surprised how many people didn't want to do what they spoke out of their own lips. you know, they did not want to do that. Most of the time it was, get back together, stop your foolishness, and get back together. And I watched them, and they would leave, and they wouldn't do what God prophesied through their own lips to do, and they went into total destruction. It was awful what happened to them. All right? Maybe you need to do that. Maybe you need to say, I still do that. I'll say to somebody, okay, God wants to speak to you. Now, you listen to the first word you hear you said. Well, I thought you said God wanted to speak to me. I said, he does, but he wants to speak through you to yourself. And I said, if you just hear the, say the. Whatever the first word is, and they say the first word, next thing you know, boy, they're just rattling on, prophesying to their self. See, they can't go wrong with that, can they? Come on, guys. The Holy Spirit is at the center of all of God's business. He is the one interacting with us and the world. Who is it that's in the center? Holy Spirit. Isaiah 61:1 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is on me. The Lord has chosen me to tell good news to the poor and to comfort those who are sad. He sent me to tell the captives and prisoners that they have been set free. He sent me to announce that the time has come for the Lord to show his kindness. When our God will also punish evil people, he has sent me to comfort those who are sad. You're in the same boat. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. And he's telling you to tell the good news or whatever it is that he's saying right here. That is your job. I'm hearing God say that is your assignment. Always has been, always will be. It's for you to go forth with the power of God in you and let God use you any way he so desires. All right? The Spirit has anointed us with a message of good news from the Father for the people around us who may be. All right, let me start that again. The Spirit has anointed us with a message of good news from the Father for people around us who may be presently sitting in spiritual darkness or suffering spiritual oppression. All right? He's anointed us with a message of good news. We haven't seen anything yet. God wants to give us his vision for a worldwide harvest and of the part each of us has to fulfill in that vision. He wants to show you what your part is in harvesting these souls. And I'm hearing him say it's not hiding behind some tree, but it's standing right out in the open where people can see you and you can see people. Then God can use you to minister to these people. We can't hide any longer. We haven't seen anything yet. Okay. We haven't seen anything yet. God wants to give us his vision. I read it, didn't it? For worldwide harvest, you know, his vision, not ours. And of the part each of us has to fulfill in that vision, we need to look beyond ourselves, beyond our personal situation only. We need to get out of our box, is what God is saying there. And we need to quit looking at what's going on in our life. God only knows what's going on in our life. Amen. He's known for quite some time. And we need to get out of that box. And we need to say, God, you're in control of my life. You have everything in your hands. I've already tried to fix it and I can't. I found out I'm not God. I'm not the Holy Spirit. And I'm not no angel. So God, I give all that to you and I'm going to go forth and I'm going to bring in that harvest of souls. Come on. You've tried to fix your life for years now, and you haven't fixed nothing yet. You made things worse. Let God have it. Let him do what he wants to do. And you go forth and do what he wants you to do to help other souls. The fields of souls all around are ripe for harvest. The heart of God is turned toward all those he came and died for. People are his true treasure. We are his treasure hunters. All right? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He came himself and he gave himself. We're supposed to do the same thing. You know, freely we have received, freely give. And quit acting like some moron going, you know, saying, oh, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And you go into your job or somewhere and you act like a total fool. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you won't ever do that. You really won't. You will be a child of God and you'll bite your tongue. I have a hard time with Gabriel. I said, Gabriel, just be quiet. You always tell me to be quiet. But I said, you're 11. He's only 5. I don't care. I'm going to say, I said, no, just please. You're the older boy. You need to set an example for the younger. It is a mess when you get two boys fighting. But, you know, that's the way we are. You know, after all, you know, I'm going to have my say-so. After all, learn to be quiet. You don't have to have your say-so. God will fight your battles for you. That's what my word tells me. All right? Well, I just have to let them know what's going on. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't have to let them know nothing. We need to make a new commitment today to be excited and available to share the good news of Christ with others. Take a look at the people you meet every day and notice how hungry and thirsty they are for something more, something God. They don't know they want God, but that's really what they want. It's really what they're looking for. Take note of their brokenness. Don't pass by their hurts as though you do not have the word of healing they need. You see that? Don't pass by their hurt, their brokenness. Well, note their brokenness. Don't pass by their hurts as though you do not have the word of healing they need. It is time to cast our nets on the other side of the boat. We've been fishing this side of the lake too long. There is a great harvest of souls swimming in circles right next to us, longing to come home to the Father. And we're just passing them by every day. Well, I told them about Jesus. Well, tell them about Jesus again. This time their heart might be open. This time they might hear and understand. Amen. Forget human power of persuasion or intellect. Look to the Father for His Spirit. You know, quit trying to use your charisma or whatever you think you have and let the Holy Spirit do the work. Continue to share the Lord with your neighbors as you share, offer prayer for the sick, you know. Just giving them a prayer if they're sick, that ain't going to help them any. Pray for them and see and watch God heal them. Expect salvation and look for His miracles to come along also. All right, as you seek His presence, pray for an increase of visitation in your family, church, and nation. Do you pray that? I pray that every day. God, just bring the Spirit so strong in this household. If you want to pray for somebody, say, God, just send your Spirit into Pastor Barbara's house and knock them all on their back and pin them to the floor for hours. And when they get up, they'll be totally changed. I'm serious. I pray that for some other people that I know they're going through some, again, nobody's listening. And I'm believing to hear a good report. Do you know what happened to my kids? They were smacked on their head, landed on the floor, and he laid there for 4 hours. You know the story about the one pastor's, one lady, her, well, she was a pastor, but they went to come down for breakfast one morning, and they couldn't get into the kitchen because every morning she was sitting in the kitchen with her cup of coffee and her Bible, and she would minister to God. And one morning, the Holy Spirit was there. And they couldn't get in there for 3 days. And they could see her sitting at the table, but they could not go into the kitchen for 3 days. She was caught up in the glory. Wouldn't you like to do that? I think that's awesome, right? Wouldn't you like your kids, see your kids be caught up in the Spirit like that? And when they came out, they'd be so full of God that you wouldn't have to do anything else for them. God says, ask for the rain in the time of the latter rain. And then I said, we haven't seen anything yet. The best is yet to come, because that's what God said. So what are you looking for? What are you truly looking for? Your job sites is a ministry place. You know, you are Jesus walking into your job place, and they should see Jesus in you. And when they see Jesus in you, then they're going to want what you have. If you're going to talk it, walk it. I just heard God say. So tonight, what God wants to do is He wants to fill you so full of Himself. If you truly want to be a vessel that He's using right now to minister to the lost people around about you, and He's saying a lot of you people have met people around about you that you think's fine, and they're totally and completely lost and undone. Now, if you want to be used in this dispensation of time, starting right now tonight, for signs, wonders, and miracles to occur wherever you go, then the altar's open for God to transfer His anointing into you tonight. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you come up here and want that, get prepared for God to send you into some awesome places to minister to some awesome broken people.